Well, God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, the love of God is an amazing thing. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. I'm here with a great Christian young man named Rohil, who some of you met yesterday in fellowship. He got off the train at the Old Town Transit Center and walked over to where we were blessing people by praying for them and ministering to them. And he said we were the first people he talked to when he arrived in San Diego. And I've been blessed to hang out with him a little bit. And he's just excited about God's word. So that's great. So I heard some mention of love and a couple of prayers and the manifestations. And love is a big deal, especially the love of God. So I'd like you all to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to talk about the word in the King James Version of the New Testament is charity. But as we all know, that's better translated to be the love of God. The unconditional love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians talks about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Pneuma Hagion, Holy Spirit. And there's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God reveals to us that there's 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit, that we as sons of God filled with Holy Spirit can operate so that we can have a more than abundant life and bless others. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians tells us how to operate the worship manifestations decently in an order and a fellowship. And right smack in between is chapter 13. And chapter 13 is all about the love of God, which is what motivated him to sacrifice his only begotten son for us, so we could have true fellowship with him. God so loved the world, right? God loved the world so much that he was willing to sacrifice his only begotten son for us so that we could have fellowship with him. It wasn't really available to have the kind of fellowship with God that God wanted to have with us until Jesus Christ gave up his life, died, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven, and sent back the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And why was that? Because John 4:24 tells us God is a spirit, and if we're going to worship him, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that requires speaking in tongues, for one thing, right? So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 in particular, has been on my heart a lot lately. And you know, we've all heard a lot of teachings about the love of God, but I honestly don't think we, or especially me, I've never really seen the bigness of it, the fullness of it, the power of it, like I have recently due to verse 8. So it says, charity, love of God, never faileth. Never faileth. The love of God never, ever, ever fails. And then it goes on to say, but all these other things, prophecies, tongues, knowledge, wisdom, they're all going to fail. They're all going to go away. But the love of God is the one thing, the one and only thing that his word says never, ever fails. Why is that? I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of love. There's Eros love, which is, you know, wow, she looks nice. That kind of love. There's Phileo love, which is the brotherly love, like Philadelphia comes from that word Phileo, brotherly love. But this is agapeo love. This is the love of God. What makes the love of God so different that it never, ever fails? Well, let's look at verse Matthew 22:36. And I'll flip there myself. Give me 1 second. I'm actually using a real Bible tonight instead of the Bible app here. So it might take me just a little bit longer. Matthew 22. Verse 36. It says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? What's the greatest law in the Old Testament? They were interested in knowing, I suppose, because they wanted to make sure they got that one done. What's the greatest commandment? And I think probably the answer that Jesus gave them probably shook them to their core. And I think it would have shook me to the core, because up to that point, they were pretty legalistic. And as many of you know, I'm an attorney. I love the law. But these guys were really, really big time into the law. And so they're probably expecting Jesus to say, well, you know, don't worship any idols, or you know, don't commit adultery. But what's he tell them? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and great commandment. Really? Where's that in the Old Testament? But Jesus is telling them, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is just like it. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. On the whole thing about the commandments or the law, and all the Old Testament about that the prophets spoke about, it all hangs on love. Love accomplished what the law never could. So why does the love of God never fail? Because it's unconditional. It can never fail because God is never going to stop loving us. No matter what we do, no matter what we don't do, no matter what we say or think, the love of God never fails because it's unconditional love. You can't earn it. You can't do anything to make it stop. It is going to achieve its purposes. It's going to continue to be available forever and ever and ever, no matter what. It is the only thing that never fails. Years ago, I was going through a difficult time in my life, a very challenging time in my life. At points, I thought I might not get through that time in my life. And I'd been accused by someone I loved very much of horrible things that were not true. And I was fighting as hard as I could in my mind and heart. I was fighting the bitterness and the temptation to not love that person. And I was in a church there at the time, and I went to talk to the pastor, and I was explaining this to him, and he says to me, "Well, Bob, is there anything I can do for you?" And I said, "Yes, there is. You can pray with me that God will show me how to love this person unconditionally like he loves me." And we prayed together. And God actually did that for me. He showed me how God, how he and his son Jesus Christ could love me without condition, without any kind of expectation or reciprocation or anything. Showed me how that works. And I was able to forgive this person and to continue to love them unconditionally. And it was one of the best things that had ever happened in my life. So I'm just thinking of times in the Bible or in the Word that talks about love and the love that God has for us, the love that we're supposed to have for each other. You know, we're supposed to love each other the same way God loves us, that unconditional love. And the one best example that I can come up with is Jesus in the garden, talking to his Father. It was intense. He was sweating drops as of blood were streaming down. And he's pleading with his Father, "God, is there any way that I don't have to go through this?" He knew exactly what he was heading into. He knew the long hours of torture that were to come. He knew he was going to have to hang there on a cross and that he was going to have to die. And he's begging his Father, "Please, is there any way out?" But then he says, "But not my will, but your will be done." And for the glory of what God showed him that sacrifice would mean for us, he was willing to go through it. And when they hung him on the cross, after beating him to a bloody pulp and driving nails into his hands and feet and hung him up on the cross, and he was up there dying as they continued to taunt and humiliate and torture him, what did he do? He asked his Father to forgive those very people that were killing him. That is what unconditional love is. So God bless you all. Just think about that. And know that that agapeo love, that unconditional love, is the most powerful thing in the world and the universe, and it will never fail. God bless you.